Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. While you're turning there, I thought I'd tell you about this elderly gentleman that decided he would start a handyman service in his town. And he couldn't hear very well. But he started up this service, and he was going door to door trying to get customers. And he went to this house, and he knocked on the door, and a guy came to the house. He said, "I'm starting a handyman service. Is there anything I can do for you, anything you need done?" And the guy said, "Well," he said, "I need my porch painted. You can paint my porch." He said, "Okay, I'll paint your porch." He said, "How much?" He said, $50. He said, $50? Are you sure to paint my porch?" He said, "Oh, yeah, sure." He said, "Okay." And so he goes back in the house, and he tells his wife, and she said, "Did he see that the porch goes all the way around the house? $50? That's," he said, "Yeah. He's standing right there on the porch. That's what he said, $50. She said, "Well, boy, it just doesn't sound like enough." Well, it wasn't 15, 20 minutes, and the knock came at the door again. He opened up the door, and the guy said, "I'm all done." He said, "You're all done?" He said, "Yeah, I'd have been done sooner, except it took two coats." He said, "How can you be done?" He said, "Well, I'm done." He said, "And by the way, it's not a Porsche, it's a BMW you've got." Genesis chapter 39. We pick up this morning in verse 3, and the Bible says, and we know what's happened here is Joseph has been he's been bought by Potiphar. Pardon me. Verse 3 says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand," talking about Joseph. "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Lord, we ask that you would bless the reading and the preaching of your word, and that you would speak to our hearts today, and that you would just give us what it is that we need from you this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We continue to look at the pictures of Christ in the life of Joseph. What we find in this passage is the principle of authority, or the rule of an overseer. Okay, and we also see blessings that are brought on account of another person. And so just two things to look at this morning. We don't have a lot here to cover, but just two things to look at. And the first was this, the first picture is this, that Joseph was an overseer. And we remember that we're looking at pictures of Christ, okay? And we're going to look here in a minute at how Christ is the overseer. But before we get there, I want to look at this. I want to read to you the definition of Webster's 1828 dictionary of overseer. Now, I want you to keep in mind as I read this, not so much Joseph, but keep in mind Christ, okay? Overseer, one who overlooks, a superintendent, a supervisor. Now, listen to this next definition that Webster gives. And I know when we read it, we know what is meant, but I can't help but think about the Lord overseeing me whenever I read this definition. "An overseer is also an officer who has the care of the poor or of an idiot." That's what Webster said. Someone who looks out for the poor or an idiot. What did that mean? How was that word used back then? Simple-minded. Someone that can't take care of themselves and needs somebody to look out for them. Now you take that and apply it to our Savior. Does he have the care? Is he an officer who has the care of the poor? Does he have the care of an idiot? Amen. Amen. Potiphar put all that was in his care in the hand of Joseph. And this brought with it great responsibility. Great responsibility. Some people don't want to be in charge of something because of the responsibility. I don't want to be in charge of that because you're not going to blame me whenever it goes bad. You're not going to blame me. But this brought with it a great responsibility. If something that belonged to Potiphar was lost or stolen, or if Potiphar suffered any type of harm or loss when it came to his possessions or the affairs of his home, it would be Joseph that would have to answer for it. Things didn't go right. Joseph's going to get called on the carpet. Stuff starts disappearing. Hey, Joseph. Things start getting damaged or the money starts to dwindle. Joseph, this is a great responsibility that he has. So he's an overseer. He's looking over everything. He's keeping everything running. He's keeping everything going. And he's the one that is responsible. Church, Christ is the great overseer. And I want us to look at a few passages this morning so that we would be reminded of who it is that watches over all that we do, who takes great care over those that he oversees. And I think this morning we need to be reminded of some of these simple truths of whose hand it is that we rest. Look at John chapter 13 with me. Now, some people want to be in charge. I'm always kind of hesitant about somebody who really wants to be in charge. Oftentimes, what I have found is the person who's very anxious to be in charge wants to be in charge for the wrong reasons. We should not be overly anxious to be in charge of something, but we should not refuse to be in charge of something. If we're made an overseer of something, we ought to approach it humbly, and we ought to say, there's a lot of responsibility here, but I'm willing to do it if this is what the Lord wants me to do. Pardon me. But look here, John 13, and begin in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Very quickly here, there is a picture of a proper, humble servant who is the great overseer. He just said, verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. So Christ could say, look, folks, I'm in charge of all of this. It's all in my hands. I am that great overseer of everything. And that one who had the right and the ability to say that did what? He put a towel around himself and said, kick off your shoes, boys. Let me wash those dirty feet of yours. So different from the attitude of many people today who are in charge of something, isn't it? Well, don't you know who I am? I'm in charge of this place. I don't do that. I don't do this. You do that. I pay other people to do that for me. No, I don't believe that the owner of the company ought to have to scrub the toilets he has more important things to do, but the owner of the company ought to always be willing to go scrub the toilets if they need to be scrubbed. And here's the Lord. All things are in his hand. He's the great overseer. Should the disciples not be washing his feet? But what he does is he says, I'll wash yours. To teach them what a true humble servant looks like. And I believe to teach us that no matter how big you get, no matter what you're put in charge of, you're never too good. You're never above doing the meanest of tasks. You're never above it. If the creator of the world washed the feet of his creation, then there's never a task that you and I are just too big for. Why should I have to do that? Okay, all things are in his hand. We're going to come back to John here in just a minute, but let's look over at Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse 12, the Bible talks about itself. It talks about the Bible being a two-edged sword. We're familiar with this verse. But look here in verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's a great overseer. Now, I want you to think about that. We know that God sees everything. We know that God's watching all the time. But our actions don't always line up with our knowledge that God sees everything. Because sometimes we do and say things and we almost act like we hold a blinder up. Don't look, God. Well, God's probably watching Brother Ben today. He's not watching me. Yeah, God's probably watching Rachel. I'm sure God's busy with somebody else. All things are naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It's all laid open. The Lord knows us from top to bottom, inside out, better than we know ourselves. Nothing's closed to him. Nothing's hidden from him. He's the great overseer. Look at Colossians chapter 1. All things are in his hand. Everything's naked and open to the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Okay, what's that telling us? That's telling us that the Lord not only sees it all, and everything's naked and open to him, but he's holding it all together, okay? This teaching that's very popular today of whatever you want to call it, they're always changing the names. You know, for a long time it was global warming, but then when they realized that things weren't warming up, then they switched it to climate change. That just covers everything. But this idea is, oh, if we don't do this or this or this over here, or if we don't fix that or do that, well, we're all just going to... I don't know what they say. Are we going to burn up? Are we going to freeze? Is it going to be a drought? Is it going to be a flood? I don't... It's always something different. Oh, we got to do something. Listen, this thing will melt when the Lord says it's time to burn it up. because in him all things consist, and this thing isn't going to quit spinning. It's not going to get too hot. It's not going to get too cold. We know we're not going to be flooded out. The Lord promised that wasn't going to happen. We know that he's going to burn it up, and we know when he's going to do that. We don't know when he's coming back to get us, but we know the timeline after that. We know after his millennial reign, he's going to burn the thing up and make it new again. Oh, aren't you worried that this is going to happen and that's going to... Not unless God stops being God. Well, aren't you worried about that? Didn't you see the research? And look, without even getting into the validity of the research, even if it was true, no. I will worry about this thing falling apart and getting too hot or too cold or flooding out or whatever when God stops being God. Because all he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the glue, he's the tape, he's the fabric, he's the tie-down straps, he's the ratchet straps, however you want it. He's holding it all together. God is going to have to stop being God for me to worry about what's going to happen to this thing. And since he's not going to stop being God, I'm not worried about what's going to happen to this thing. He oversees it. It's all in his hands. It's naked and open to him. And it all just consists in him and by him. Now, what about us specifically? Well, go to John chapter 10. Now, the Lord is an overseer in general of everything. But let me ask you this question. Is he your overseer? Have you been born again and put your faith and trust only in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is he your personal overseer? John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. You know what that means? That makes him the great overseer of those that belong to him as well. Not just everything in general. Not just everything in general, but specifically those that have put their faith and trust in him for salvation. Yeah, they're right there. They're not going anywhere. They can't get out of there, and nobody can get them out of there, and they can't get themselves out of there, and I'm not going to take them out of there. Have you made him your overseer? Look at John 17. John 17. And verse 11. 11 and 12. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Okay, is he your overseer? Do we reckon him as our overseer? Not just in the keeping of our soul, not just in keeping us saved, not just in the seal of the Holy Spirit, but do we see him as, Lord, you're over all of this that I do? Or do we have sections of our lives and we say, Lord, I want you to watch over this. I want you to tell me what to do here. I want you to superintend this here. But Lord, this, I've got it. I'll take care of this. I think I've got a plan here. I'm going to see how this works out. Potiphar put all that he had in the hands of Joseph. And he trusted him, amen, he trusted him with everything to the point that he didn't even know what he had. He just knew there was food on the table. You going to put everything, or are we going to put everything in our overseer's hands and say, Lord, you know it all, you see it all, you're overseeing everything. And Lord, I'm not going to worry about any of it. It's in your hands. All of it is. You don't get 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5. You don't get 99%. You get all of it. And Lord, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about my needs being met. I'm not going to worry about it. It's all in your hands, and I'm going to trust you. I want you to oversee all of it. Can you do that? Well, I tell you, on the authority of who, on the Word of God and who Jesus Christ is, you can, but will we? Have you seen these, soap and the hand sanitizers and stuff like that? What do they all say? And the sprays, kills 99.99% of everything. Well, you know why they can't put 100? Because the attorneys have taken over the country. They can't ever say, they're trying to say, you know what, this stuff kills everything. And most of it does, good or bad. It just wipes everything out. But they can't say that legally. You know, because there might be, have you seen those commercials where they take a dirty hand and put it on something and clean it with something, and then they put that black light on it, and then they got the dirty hand over here and they clean it with their product, and over here there's still a bunch of dirt, and over here there's just a few spots. Well, that only matters if you're not me, because me, even the few spots is unacceptable. No, I want it all gone. I don't want any trace. Get the whole thing out of there. But you know why they can't say 100%? Because they can't guarantee that, and they'll get in trouble legally if they do that. But not so with our God. He can handle 100% of our life. He can. His claim to us is not, I will oversee and I will take care of 99.9% of your problems. I said it in Sunday school. He's more than enough. He's not just barely enough. He's more than enough. I can make him overseer because he's the only one that can handle such a role. And he's proven that throughout Scripture. He's proven that in my own life. But am I going to put it all in his hands? Potiphar put it all in Joseph's hands. So you take it. And things went well as long as he did that. Are we going to put, listen, folks, if a worldly, sinful Egyptian is willing to take all of his worldly possessions and put them in the hands of a Hebrew, and they didn't like the Hebrews, a slave, and trust him with everything, why can't you and I put everything in the hands of Almighty God? Material possessions, finances, relationships, our health, our witness, everything, all of it. Our problems, our worries, our fears, our woes, our happiness, everything. Why can't we put everything in the hands of the one? Joseph is a picture, but he's not Christ. And if a worldly Egyptian could trust him with everything, we can far more trust the Creator with everything. The question this morning is, what is it that stops us from putting everything in his hands? It could be any number of things. Could be that we don't really believe that he can handle it. or we believe that he can, we'd like to see him do it for a few more other people before we try it. You know, it's like she makes that dessert for the first time and you're not so sure about it. And you call the kids in and say, hey, try a piece of mom's cake. And then you watch them and is it good? Yeah, but you'll eat anything. Get your brother in here. Try a piece of mom. Well, okay, I guess if everybody likes it, I'll try it. You know, we step back sometimes. Well, you know, if I see God do it for a few more people, then maybe I'll trust him with my similar problem. If I see him do it for a few other people, then maybe, listen, you've got all the proof you need. You've got this book. But you don't need this book and its examples of how God does it. The fact that he is the I am is enough. But he's just been good enough to us to prove it to us and say, look, I know you're going to have trouble trusting me. So look what I did for him and for her. And look over here at what I did for this family. And look back here at how I brought them through. And look at, you know, we need to just trust him as overseer and put everything in his hands because he created everything. But on top of that, he gives us page after page after page of, look, I've not failed any of them yet. Let me ask you, if there's something that you're reluctant to put in his hands and make him overseer of, what's your reason? What is your reason? Turn with me to Job 34. Talking about our great overseer. Sobering thought too, isn't it? Scary thought for our nation and our own lives as well. You can turn TV off and not know what is going on around you. You can turn the computer off. You can cancel your subscription to the newspaper and say, I don't want to know what's going out there. Lord's watching it all the time, isn't he? Okay, Job 34 and verse 21. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. So Christ is the great overseer. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. And this goes along with what we looked at there in John just a second ago. 1 Peter chapter 4. He's a great overseer, and the believers, he's overseeing our lives. We're in his hands. What's keeping us from just turning everything over to his care? 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 19 says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls unto him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Now let me ask you this, okay? I'm looking at this fundamental Baptist Bible-believing church. There's not a person in here that I know of that does not believe that we are eternally secure in Jesus Christ. That you cannot lose your salvation. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are eternally secure in him. We've got that. Now, if not, let's talk afterwards. I want to show you a few things. But I know this group well enough to know we're on the same page there. Okay? If we commit the keeping of our very souls, the most important thing that we have, if we can commit that to Him, why can't He have the checkbook? Why can't He have the illness? Why can't He have the decisions at work? Why can't He have our family? Why can't He have our relationships and our fellowships and our if we will commit the most important thing that we have, our very soul, unto Him and say, I know that I'm eternally secure, then why can't we trust Him with these temporal things? Why can't we trust Him with these things that come nowhere near the meaning of our soul? Why can't we say, Lord, if you're going to keep my soul, you might as well have all the rest of this stuff. None of this equals my soul. Now, Lord, you keep my soul, I'll handle this. Lord, I just think I know a little bit better about where I ought to work. Lord, I think I've got a little bit better idea about who I should spend my time with. Now, you keep my soul, because I can't do that. I can handle these things. No, listen, if I'm willing to say, Lord, you're the only one that can save my soul. You're the only one who can keep it. It's the most important thing I have. And you have all this other stuff too. Okay, just a few more on this and we'll be finished with this first part. Hebrews 10. A couple verses here that are real close. Hebrews 10. Okay, he's a great overseer of everything in general. He's our overseer as believers. One day, every single thing will be put under his foot. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Okay, those that are lost will be cast into the lake of fire one day, never to return. The Lord is going to reign. He sees everything. He's over everything. He's in charge of everything. But not everything's happening according to His will right now. But that day's a-coming. One day it is all going to be done according to His will. And that's that great day that we look forward to. How about this? Revelation 1. Revelation 1, and verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You know, I remember when I worked in the school system that there was one man in the building that could get you into any room, any door. There's no place that you could keep him out of, and it wasn't the principal, and it wasn't the teachers, it was the janitor. I don't know how he kept all those keys straight. I mean, some of them have so many they walk lopsided, you know, because they got this big thing. I mean, the principals would go and get the janitor to let them into certain rooms. He had it, man. Everything was open to him. He had all the keys that he needed. He could... Wouldn't you like to know the man that has the keys? And don't you think the man that's got the keys can be trusted? The two most important keys are in the hand of our Savior. He says, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. What are you worried about? I'm worried about going to hell. Don't you worry about that. I've got that place locked up. I've got the key to let you out of there. Now I'm worried about dying. No, I got that key too. See, I've got the keys. All right, we've seen that Joseph was made an overseer, and Christ is the great overseer of everything in general, and when one day everything's going to go according to his instruction, his command, and right now, you and I, the believers, he oversees all that we do. But we need to learn how to put everything in his hands the way that Potiphar did with Joseph. Well, I'm just afraid, I'm just worried, it's a heart matter, it's a faith matter, it's a belief matter. That's all it is. Yeah, I get so tired of this teaching that in other circles that, you haven't been healed because you don't trust God enough. No, you're saying that because you don't know the Bible enough. But you know, there are things that we keep grappling with and struggling with in our life that we don't have to if we would just trust the Lord and put it in His hands. I'm not talking about physical healing. I'm saying we fret and worry about things that we fret and worry about because we're trying to take care of it when we need to just put it all in His hands. What's stopping us? Okay, and the second thing that we see in our text this morning is this. Potiphar was blessed. His household was blessed because of that one man. Blessed for his sake. Potiphar hadn't done anything to secure the blessings of God. But because of Joseph, he enjoyed those blessings. Now, what have you and I done to secure the blessings of God? Well, Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The best I can do is putrefaction in His sight. That's my best. This is my best effort. And the Lord says, that's filthy. Get it out of my sight. It doesn't pass here. It doesn't go here. It's no good. Okay, Potiphar didn't do anything, but he was being blessed because of another man. What'd you and I do to secure the blessings of God? Nothing, but I sure have them because of the actions of another man. I sure have the blessings of God because of the cross of Jesus Christ. I sure have the blessings of God in my life because of what another man did for me, in my place, for my benefit. What do we have? Well, Paul said that in his flesh there was no good thing, and that goes for all of us. What did Jacob say back in Genesis 32 whenever he was praying? He said to the Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. Remember when we read that? He said, Lord, I'm not worthy of the littlest thing you could do for me, I'm not worthy of it. We find another principle here that the wicked are often improved by the presence of believers. Now, would you rather live in a town with more people that believe in Jesus Christ and live by the Bible and serve Jesus Christ, or would you rather live in a town with more people that don't believe in Jesus Christ and don't want to live according to His Word? Even if you didn't believe, you would be benefited by the presence of Bible-believing Christians. It happens everywhere. Every day, their businesses are made better because of the Bible-believing Christians that work for them. They don't believe, but just having that believer there working for them improves their situation. Every day, lost people, every night, lost people climb into bed, pull the covers up, go to sleep, and aren't worried about the neighbors around them breaking in the middle of the night and taking their stuff and taking their life, because they know those are Christians, those are church-going people. And he's experiencing the blessings of having God's people near him. Now, this didn't save Potiphar. It imparted no righteousness unto Potiphar. But he's experiencing the blessings of God because of another man. And all we like sheep have gone astray and have no claim to heaven, but another man came and purchased us with his blood. And I enjoy his blessings. I enjoy the blessings of the Father because of the Son. Look at Titus chapter 3. Two passages here and we'll be done. Titus chapter 3. What did Potiphar do to deserve these blessings? Nothing. What have I done to deserve the blessings of the Lord? Nothing. Titus chapter 3 and beginning in verse 5. Verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Notice that Paul says, for we ourselves were sometimes. Paul's just being nice. Sometimes. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Verse 5. But according to His mercy. Potiphar was blessed because of Joseph. And we are saved and we are blessed. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. And I want to end with this one. Ephesians 4. Now, we're not there yet, but I want to say this real quick. Potiphar is blessed because of Joseph. Everything's just going good for him because of Joseph. But as soon as he thinks something, this is coming up with his wife, as soon as he thinks something bad has happened, do you notice how quick Potiphar throws everything he knows about Joseph out the window? I don't want to get ahead of myself, but as soon as he hears this from his wife, you say, but that's his wife. He's got to believe his wife. Listen. Listen. I don't believe for a minute that Potiphar's wife was a shining example of womanhood up until this chapter. Okay? You look at it however you want. You don't have to see it the way that I do. I think Potiphar already had an adulterous wife, which means he would know his wife's intentions, what she was like. Can I prove that out of... No, that's why I'm saying you don't have to believe it. I'm just saying she's after this young man and after him and after him and after him and after him. It's a good chance that this is the kind of woman that she is. This is Egypt. Okay? You don't have to believe that. That's fine. We will continue to be brethren. That's just how I look at that and say, you know what? This woman was probably already like that, given the time and the place and the way she acted and everything. Okay? But as soon as Potiphar hears it, he doesn't look at, now wait a minute. Joseph is blessed in everything that he does and he's bringing, honey, let's talk about this for a minute. No, it's, throw him in prison. And likewise, sometimes believers, we say we have faith in God, we trust in God, we see all of his blessings, and the first bad thing that happens, God, why did you let that happen to me? God, why'd you do this to me? You mean God who saved you and blessed you with all spiritual blessings and pressed down and running over and more abundantly and exceeding abundant before above all that we could think? One thing goes wrong. One thing goes wrong. Oh, Lord, I can't believe this. Look, I wish I was just preaching to you all. But whether I'm preaching to you all or not, I don't know. But I know I'm preaching to this man. I've been there. I've done it. You see his blessings. You see how wonderful he is. And then something bad happens. And now all of a sudden, oh, I don't understand. Why did God let this? Why did God? You start blaming God. And everything that he's done for us just goes out the window. Why don't we instead say what Potiphar should have said, and he should have said, no dice, honey doll. No dice. That man's a good man. He's brought nothing but good to this household. I know you're my wife. We need to talk this thing over because this just doesn't line up with what I know about this man. Why don't we say when something happens, ain't God that did it to me. He's only been good to me. This evil didn't come from his hand. Perhaps he has allowed it for a purpose and that'll work out to my good, but I ain't blaming him. He has good thoughts towards me. He gives good gifts and perfect gifts. Okay? Potiphar does not deserve these blessings. He has them because of Joseph. Joseph is a picture of Christ. You and I don't deserve anything from the Lord. We have them because of the Lord, because of Jesus Christ. And Ephesians chapter 4. Man, I love this verse. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's not the part that I love about this verse. I love the whole verse, but right here, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That whole verse is wonderful. But man, that last sentence, saying, hey, you're forgiven because of Jesus Christ. Potiphar didn't have anything to do with you. It's Joseph. Christians didn't have anything to do with you. It's Jesus Christ. unbelievers that have not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ, he didn't go to the cross because you're so great. You can be saved because he is so great. He went because of who he is. Not because of you, he went in spite of you and for you and because of who he is. Christ is our great overseer. Are we going to put everything in his hands like Potiphar put in the hands of Joseph? Come on, we put a lot of things in a lot of hands every day. Every single time that we get in that car out there, I'm trusting Honda or Ford or just whichever one we happen to be in. I will say that I trust Ford a little bit more than Honda. Honda's the one that just starts up on its own in the middle of the night. Honda's the one that it's like, remember Kit? Remember Knight Rider, the TV show Knight Rider and Kit? That car talked and did. That's what that Honda's like. It has a mind of its own. When it wants to unlock the doors, it'll just do it. It might be when you're driving down the road. It might be when you're sitting in the living room. When it wants to start up, it would just start up. 1 o'clock in the morning. It had one of those remote starters and it was malfunctioning somehow. We'd just be sitting in the living room. Hey, the car's going somewhere. We'd have to go out and shut it off. Back at the old house, our bedroom window overlooked the driveway. Sometimes you'd be woken up by flashing lights because when the car locks itself, it flashes the lights a couple of times. Uh-oh, must be prowlers. The car locked itself up. The thing's got a mind of its own. But you know what? Every time I get in that, I trust the engineers at Honda that this thing ain't going to blow up and it's going to get me where I'm going. I trust all those other people out there on the roads that they'll keep their eyes. I don't trust them very much, but they'll watch where they're going. Every time I light that stove at home, it's a gas stove. I trust this thing's been made right and it's not going to blow up on me. You ever stop and think about all the things you trust during the day? I mean, you're putting your life in the hands of a lot of people and machines and things like this that you've never met and who are faulty. But we come to our Lord. Not so sure yet, God. Just not so sure. Why don't we just put it all in his hands? Why don't we just put it all in his hands? And then see ourselves blessed for his sake, not because of us. Heavenly Father, you know every heart that's in here. You know mine and everybody else in here. You know who among us does not put everything in your hands. You know who among us does not trust you with everything that we should, or we trust you partially, which partial trust is full distrust. And Lord, all that I can pray is that you would convict our hearts and make it clear to us if we don't already see it clear to us where we're not putting everything in your hands and trusting you and letting you be the overseer that you need to be in our lives, and that you would help us to surrender these things to you, to stop leaning to our own understanding, and to live the faith that we claim we have. We trust you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and take our hymnals and open to hymn number 485. And if you need time to pray, you can always come up front here. If you